Dominique.
Thank you for coming. I always wondered how long it would take until people forgot about Hurricane Katrina, so I'm very happy to see so many of you here. Let me start by acknowledging my two co-authors who cannot be here today, Dr. Mark Van Landingham and Dr. Hung Yung Fu. None of us have any financial interest in this particular project. The objectives of today's presentation is to talk a little bit about the challenges of calculating population-based rates in a population where there are rapid changes in population size, such as is the case after a disaster, and then to talk a little bit about some practical approaches for dealing with that. And the particular case we're going to talk about here is the case of homicide rates in post-Katrina New Orleans. I don't know, many of you will probably remember New Orleans as a city that even before Katrina had some serious issues, both with corruptions and with crime, and at various points in time we have been labeled the homicide capital of the United States. So after Hurricane Katrina, when the entire population had evacuated and when repopulation occurred only slowly, we actually had several months where crime was at an all-time low, but as the population returned, so did crime. So by the end of 2006, the number of homicides had increased rather rapidly, and about the last week of 2006 or so was actually marked by a rash of homicides that got national attention, and maybe international attention. So these are a couple of examples of things that I just pulled from the web. There was a report, for example, by NBC News pointing out that homicide rates in New Orleans were 30% higher than in any other major U.S. city. They also made a point of, you probably can't see this, but they made a point of pointing out that the very last days of 2006, actually the number of people who got killed in New Orleans was actually larger than the number of soldiers who got killed in Iraq. Another example, the International Herald Tribune pointed out that New Orleans was the murder capital once again, and they pointed out that no matter which population size you use to calculate the rates, it's still an exceptionally high rate. It's all kind of interesting because it led to a whole discussion about whether homicide rates in New Orleans were actually increasing or decreasing. And the reason for that discussion was that Police Chief Riley noted that in 2006 there were only 161 murders in New Orleans, and he made a point of saying that this was the lowest number in decades. So what is really going on here? Well, obviously people are using different methods to think about these issues, and in any time where you use the actual number of homicides, you have a misleading picture because this population at risk is actually changing radically during the course of a disaster. Even the data sources that use rates often have misleading information because the denominator used to calculate the rates is actually the population at the end of the calendar year, which is not the correct interpretation. So all of this is exacerbated by a lack of official data. And one of them, for example, is a lack of homicide data. Before Katrina, the police department actually made a very nice website that had maps of all the homicides in New Orleans so that people would be well informed about what the risk areas were. After Katrina, this completely disappeared. The old maps were there, but they were not updated with new information. And various other sources came to the rescue. So for example, the local newspaper, the Times-Picayune, started making its own maps based on reports they had on shootings and so forth. And this is some things I pulled from the web here. There's another data source that does the same thing. NOLA Fugees does also homicide maps based on information from the police department, from TV stations, and from the Times-Picayune website. So what we need in this situation now is actually more accurate estimates of the rates of homicide. And we have these new data sources. We still have official reports on the number of homicides, but we only get them at the end of the year, not during the course of the year. So what we need now is more accurate information on patterns in homicide rates and trends in homicide rates. And that requires accurate information both on the number of homicides, but also on the population at risk. And I think calculating the population at risk is actually the most difficult part. So let me go through some discussion of how we normally do this. Under normal conditions, the rate would be calculated as the number of events, homicides in this case, divided by exposure. That's the population at risk. And exposure is measured by person years lived at, by the population at risk of experiencing the event. In most cases, when a population is growing at a constant rate, the mid-year population is a very good estimate of the population at risk. So in the case of New Orleans in 2004, if we take the mid-year population, which was about 462,000, if the population was constant, that would be a very good estimate of the number of person years lived. In reality, the New Orleans population was actually steadily declining at about 1.6% per year. So what happened is, in the beginning of the year, the population was a little bit higher than the mid-year estimate, and at the end of the year was a little bit lower. So the difference cancels out, and the mid-year population is still a very good estimate. So in 2004, we had 264 homicides for 462,000 person years of exposure, which would give you a homicide rate of about 57 per 100,000. Just to put it in perspective, for the United States as a whole, it was about 5.5. So what happens during an actual disaster year? In New Orleans, obviously, we had a total depopulation due to the mandatory evacuation that happened at the end of August. And then afterward, we had a period of about 5 to 6 weeks where nobody was allowed in except recovery workers, and then a very slow repopulation. So in this situation, we actually need a more sophisticated calculation of the person years at risk. So what happened in New Orleans in 2005 is basically this situation. Everything was more or less normal up to August 29. So for that period, we can use the mid-year population, which would be the population on May 1. Up to October, there was nobody living in New Orleans, and then a very slow population repopulation. To calculate person years, it would go like this. So if we estimate the population on May 1st, based on the census data, we would have about 456,000 people there. Each of those would have contributed 8 months of exposure up to the end of August, and that would yield 304,000 person years of risk. By October 31st, we estimated that the total population of New Orleans was about 71,000 people, so very slow repopulation. Those had not been there the whole year, but we estimate that they probably had been there as of October 15, so they would contribute another 2.5 months until the end of the year, yielding about 14,000 person years of risk. And then RAND Corporation estimated that the population by the end of the year, December 31, was about 91,000. So that would be 20,000 additional people, and each one of those would contribute about 1.5 months of risk, yielding a total person years at risk of about 321,000. Now, to calculate the rate, in 2005, there were 215 reported homicides over 321,000 person years of at risk, would yield a homicide rate of 65, so a substantial increase. And we played around with different estimates of the population at the end of the year, and it made very little difference because basically there were so few people who were in New Orleans at the end of that particular year. So going to the next year, in 2006, we have a recovery phase where there's now substantial repopulation. The issue there is that there are very little data available, and the data that are available yield some substantial disagreement about how large the population really was. And the disagreement is shown here. So basically, there's two sets of data, and one of them basically assumes that there's a very rapid repopulation in the beginning of the year, and then it sort of slowly increases. And the other estimate, which we think is probably the best estimate, is that there's a slower repopulation, and then eventually ending up with the same population size. Once again, calculating this, we start first for the best estimate. That's assuming that there's a slow repopulation. These are data from RAND Corporation. As I said before, at the beginning of the year, 91,000 people, so that would contribute 91,000 person years. By March 31, RAND estimated that there were 155,000 people, so that would be 64,000 additional people, each contributing about 10.5 months. That yields 56,000 person years. And in October, we had information from Louisiana Recovery Authority estimating the population at 191,000, contributing another 18,000 person years. And then our extrapolated population, just assuming constant growth between March and the end of the year, would yield a population of 212 by the end of that year. That yields a total of 167,000 person years at risk. The census estimate based on the mid-year population would give you 210,000. Now, the alternative estimate is based on sources from EOC, And they come up with a much, much higher population estimate. So instead of having 91,000 at the beginning of the year, they estimated it at 134,000. I won't go through all the calculation, but it basically ends up with a much higher estimate of the person years at risk. And the difference between the two has largely to do with how the data were collected. One of them collecting a lot of data on weekends, and people would come back to repair their houses and then leave again. So these were not really at risk all the time becoming a homicide victim. Might be useful approach for other things, but not for calculating population-based rates. In 2007, basically all the recovery agencies stopped collecting data. We do have census data available that give us the mid-year population, but we don't get them until the end of the year. If we look at the different estimates of the homicide rates over time now, at the top line we see for 2004, that's a normal condition, we had an estimate of 57.1 homicides per 100,000 years at risk. 2005, the estimate is 65 per 100,000. And then for 2006, we have three very different rates. We end up with anywhere between 77 and 97 homicides per 100,000, depending on the approach you believe. For 2007, it's more or less a normal calculation again. We end up with 88 per 100,000. Another way of showing it is to look at the actual increase in homicides. And the next to last column shows you the homicide rate compared to the level for 2004. So you see by 2005, there was a 14% increase in the homicide rate. For the year 2006, again, on the data, depending on the data you believe, there would have been an increased homicide rate somewhere between 35% higher and 69% higher than was the case in 2004. In 2007, it was about 54% higher than in 2004. So what do we conclude from this exercise? The first thing we note, obviously, is that all the calculations of rates are really suffering from a lack of data. We also learned that official data may be delayed, or in the case of the homicide rates, the crime maps that we had, they may not be, even if they're collected, they may not be made available at all. We also learned that population-based rates that are reported by officials and by the press are often incorrect because the denominator is not calculated correctly. To have an effective disaster recovery, we really need evidence-based data. So it's extremely important that we collect accurately calculated rates. And I think what is really essential here is that we avoid implementing programs that are based on incorrectly calculated rates. So one of the key things we need to do is educate all the key stakeholders about how the rate should be calculated, and that would include people from the press. It's also essential to calculate population estimates at frequent intervals, preferably with some input from the Census Bureau, so that those data are available during this period when the regular data collection is not being conducted. And then finally, it's absolutely essential that we compare and critically evaluate the different sources of data that are available, and that we have some good estimate of what the most likely outcome is. Thank you.
So you can see that this has been a really challenging area. I mean, in the birth department, we can't even, haven't been able to compute actual age-specific birth rates because, I mean, it takes the homicide issue to another level because you're looking at population composition by age and sex. So it's a really challenging struggle, and maybe you'll have some ideas when we have the discussion on where we can go. But yeah, are there any burning questions? Yes.
Yeah, I just wondered if I could comment. It seems to me the problem is even worse than that, because the population composition, not all person years are equal. Population composition of different at-risk subgroups have been extremely different in late 2005 and 2006 than prior to
Yes, definitely. This is basically the simplest calculation, just that are normally used to look at trends. If you were trying to split it up by population subgroup, you're going to see major difference. There are major differences in family composition, in socioeconomic status, in ethnic composition, and so forth. We're nowhere close to even getting at any of those issues. I think splitting it up by age and sex, sorry, we can